sorry, guys, while everybody is got their focus on this drone nonsense in New Jersey, New York, the earth is continuing to travail in birth pangs. For example, California just recently had a magnitude 7.2 earthquake that struck off their coast, triggering a tsunami warning. And then, shortly thereafter, a swarm of earthquakes struck Alaska's western Aleutian Islands after this magnitude 7.0 earthquake off of California coast. Authorities are concerned now that this could be awakening a volcano there. And then another major fault line could be reawakening as at least 7 earthquakes and a small earthquake swarm has now been felt on the New Madrid fault line. This doesn't include all the other things happening. A wildfire in California, where a bomb cyclone in the winter is now wreaking havoc up in the north. So we're going to talk about all this on today's broadcast. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? Welcome to our 8 p.m. Eastern hour. It is Thursday, December the 12th, and we welcome you back. And I say back because many of you guys, we were with you earlier this afternoon. We did a quick update regarding all the drones, and I gave two terrifying scenarios. Now that this thing is more and more information is coming out, it's becoming more and more apparent that there is something big coming. If you didn't catch that broadcast, please go back and watch that, when you get done with this broadcast or whenever you get the free time to go watch it. We would love for you guys to catch up with that. And again, don't forget to hit that like button. That's going to help us push this out on YouTube. And of course, if you're watching by Rumble, you can do the same there. And go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification as well. And even better, guys, take it a step further, download our free app. It's available on the Apple and Android devices. This way, you can bypass social media. Don't rely on social media alone, because then there's a lot of censorship, shadow banning, and just suppression. So we want you to bypass all that. Download our free app today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go, squared away. It's on Apple and Android devices, and it's free to be a blessing for you. So as we said at the opening of this hour, while everybody is, again, and rightfully so, we should be paying attention, and we should be concerned with what's going on in New Jersey and New York with these mysterious drones. And I say New Jersey and New York because that's been the main focal point, but this is happening all across the United States and even in the West. Again, we talked more about that earlier today, or we talked more about that. While we're paying attention to that, the Earth is continuing to travail. In fact, according to the National Oceanic Administration, NOAA, as of the beginning of November of this year, the U.S. has already experienced $24 billion in disaster. They're saying that we will reach an estimated $30 billion in disasters by the end of 2024. Let me read this statement. Quote, in 2024, as of November 1st, there have been 24 confirmed weather climate disaster events with losses exceeding $1 billion to the effect of the U.S. These events included 17 severe storm events, 4 tropical cyclone events, 1 wildfire event, and 2 winter storm events. One of them is Hurricane Helene that devastated the Appalachians. Recently, another one of these disasters is struck, but thank God, and again, all of our West Coast folks better be thanking God, was when California missed a huge bullet when a magnitude 7.0 earthquake, and I'm going to pull this up here. You can see exactly where this took place on the map. Again, this was right off the coast here of California.
Powerful 7.0 magnitude earthquake that rocked Northern California and triggered a tsunami warning today.
Dad, there's an earthquake happening. Look at the pool.
We're starting to get a clearer picture of all the damage. The quake struck off the coast of Humboldt County about 10:45 this morning. The tsunami warning followed, but it only lasted for about an hour before it was canceled.
And Mark, 30 aftershocks since that big one around 10:45 this morning. Certainly unnerving all the way through the morning hours. Then you add the tsunami warning on top of that. This evening, more than 10,000 people are without power as they continue to survey the damage. And coming into our newsroom, more and more reports of damage all across that region as Governor Newsom declared a state of emergency.
A road in the small town of Rio Del cracked from the quake. This just a sliver of the damage across NorCal from a 7.0 magnitude earthquake that hit miles off the coast this morning. Shops and homes left shaking from the biggest earthquake in California in years.
Dad, there's an earthquake happening. Look at the pool.
A literal wave pool in someone's yard, a jarring sight, but pales in comparison to the fear felt by many of a tsunami crushing the coast. A tsunami warning quickly went into effect, and thousands of people living within a mile of the Pacific got in their cars and rushed to higher ground.
We evacuated up to the top of the mountain up there on Roberts Road, where it almost looked like half the Pacific was there.
But as seismologist Dr. Lucy Jones explains, this quake was underwater plates moving horizontally. So while it stirred the ocean water, it wasn't the kind that would generate a giant wave.
To create the big wave, you have to displace a lot of water, right? You change the shape of the seafloor. It comes up, the water that used to be there has to go somewhere else, and that's the tsunami wave, right? So if you don't change the shape of the seafloor, you don't generate the wave.
Governor Gavin Newsom was at the southern border with Mexico, where he was briefed and announced a state of emergency declaration shortly after the tsunami alert was lifted.
It's another reminder of the state that we live in and the state of mind that we need to bring to our day-to-day reality here in the state of California in terms of being prepared for earthquakes. But early damage assessments are being made.
Even with the quake miles off the coast, it was quickly detected, and more than 400,000 people got a shake alert warning in a matter of seconds.
Once we actually pick up that earthquake, the processing time just takes like under a second to process that information and then to provide it to the people who are actually going to deliver the alerts. And our goal is to get alerts out as quickly as possible. We work with our partners to deliver alerts within 5 seconds.
Interesting note on exactly where the epicenter was out in the Pacific Ocean. Dr. Jones says this is essentially where three tectonic plates meet. So it's a very active area when it comes to earthquakes. So she wasn't that surprised when a 7.0 came through, still jarring and unnerving for all the folks who felt the shakes and all those aftershocks. She also said it does not mean there will be other big earthquakes in our immediate future and essentially has no impact on the San Andreas Fault.
And many people feared, here it is, this is it. We're going to see much devastation, but again, it was yet another bullet that was dodged on the West Coast. Again, this earthquake struck about 40 miles offshore, triggering the tsunami warning. Originally, it was being reported that it was a magnitude 6.6 that had struck Northern California, but it was quickly upgraded to a magnitude 7.0. Some sources say 7.2. So it's very rare that the USGS would upscale an earthquake in its magnitude, where in which generally they degrade it, they lower the magnitude. Hopefully, again, for the sake of those people there, this is not a prelude to something larger. Now, consequently, shortly after this, a swarm of earthquakes struck Alaska's Western Aleutian Islands. According to this report, a series of moderate to strong earthquakes struck Alaska's Western Aleutian Islands and offshore areas on, and now again, this was back on December 9th, in what scientists are referring to a, quote, swarm. It comes after a series of earthquakes caused evacuations across hundreds of miles in California and sparked a tsunami alert. Residents were again forced to leave their homes after this earthquake struck about 60 miles off the coast of Ferndale in Humboldt County. Not long after the U.S. Geological Survey announced that the earthquake struck at a depth of about 10 kilometers, Again, the National Weather Service issued a tsunami warning, yada, yada. We already got through this. In the latest string of tremors in Alaska, there were no immediate reports of damage or injuries in the area around Attic, however you pronounce it. These three regions right here, guys. I'm not even going to try to pronounce these because I'll slaughter them. And all you folks that live in Alaska will get mad at me, so I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. Again, these are three locations there all around Alaska in the Anchorage area or west of it. Again, this is approximately 1,350 miles west of Anchorage on these remote islands.
Welcome back in on this Monday morning, coming in at just under 28 minutes past the hour. Taking you back to yesterday morning, where we're seeing a swarm of earthquakes just south of the Aleutians. Now, the original earthquake was a magnitude 6.3, just to the southwest of Adak, and that occurred at 10:57 a.m. yesterday morning with a depth of 4.7 miles. Since then, we've seen several magnitude 5.0 or greater aftershocks that have occurred in the same general location, just to the southwest of Adak. Last recorded earthquake was a 3.1 that we did see, but of those that have been 5.10 or greater, it has been 9 that we have recorded since then. Continuing to, of course, monitor that swarm of earthquakes. And I'm looking at the volcano status across the state as well. The latest on Mount Spur continues to remain in advisory status with some small, shallow earthquakes. And, of course, as we've been talking about, a warning is likely before eruption with this Mount Spur as we continue to monitor that situation.
However, two additional aftershocks above 6.0 began around 3 in space 20 minutes were not normal. Again, not normal. The series of quakes constituted a swarm or a cluster of quakes with similar magnitudes, according to the USGS. Michael West, who is the Alaska Earthquake Center director and state seismologist, assured, while the Aleutians experienced a swarm of quakes more vigorous than usual, Alaskans should not be overly concerned. Swarms of moderately large earthquakes are, quote, common in the Aleutians and do not necessarily portend anything more substantial. Now, for many of you guys who may not know this, in 1964, what was called the Alaska earthquake, known as the Great Alaska Earthquake and the Good Friday Earthquake. This earthquake that struck on Good Friday of 1964 was a mega thrust quake that began at 5:36 p.m. on March 27, 1964. It had a moment magnitude of 9.2. Could you imagine? A 9.2 earthquake struck again in Alaska in 1964, and it made it the second largest earthquake on record. This quake lasted nearly 3 minutes and was the most powerful recorded earthquake in the U.S. and North American history. Ground fissures and failures caused major structural damage in several communities. Anchorage sustained great destruction or damage to many inadequately earthquake-engineered houses, buildings, and infrastructure, particularly in several landslide zones along Nick Arm. 200 miles southwest, some areas of coastline near Kodiak and Hinchinbrook Island were permanently raised by 30 feet. Southeast of Anchorage areas around certain towns there were confined to the southern side of the Seaward Highway, then where water rushed in and flooded or destroyed any building standing in the north of the highway. According to history, there were thousands of aftershocks for 3 weeks that followed this main quake. In the first day alone, 11 aftershocks were recorded with a magnitude, and these were aftershocks. They were recorded of a magnitude of 6.2 or larger. 9 more occurred over the next 3 weeks until it was not until more than a year later that the aftershocks were no longer noticed. And again, also Alaska has a track record of producing major earthquakes. So it is possible. And then I want to show you this. Before we do this, when we did that live breaking news alert, that update of that California earthquake that produced the tsunami warning. In that update, you'll remember I warned about the sleeping giant. I'm talking about the New Madrid fault line. I have warned, and not just me, but many people have warned, as scientists, seismologists, even even modern day prophets, watchmen, they've all warned that this is the major fault line that you need to be watching for. Because it could when this thing blows again, like it did in 1811, 1812, if it blows at that magnitude again, the consequences will be catastrophic. It will change the entire landscape geographically. There is maps and images that have been generated and produced by the U.S. Navy showing that it will literally split our nation in half if this was to happen again. And they're saying it's not a matter of if it will, it's a matter of when it will. And then consequently, guys, literally days after the California quake, the Alaska swarm, then we had this. 7 earthquakes rattle areas around the New Madrid fault line.
A swarm of small earthquakes striking southeast Missouri over the last 24 hours, the strongest of which it was measured a 3.0 magnitude, which occurred around 12:30 this morning near the town of Howardville. It happened just within the last few hours, a 5.5 magnitude quake striking just east of Carson City, Nevada. Now, there was no immediate report of injuries or damage from any of those quakes and thereafter aftershocks.
Wow. Wow. Officials with the Evansville-Vandenberg County Emergency Management Agency in Indiana say 7 quakes happened on Monday morning around the New Madrid fault line. According to Missouri State Emergency Management Agency, 5 earthquakes were detected near Marston, Missouri, while 2 were detected near Ridgely, Tennessee. All of the quakes are considered to be a magnitude of 1 or higher, according to Michigan Technological University. An earthquake with a magnitude 2.5 or less is usually not felt, but can be recorded by the seismograph. The university says millions of these types of earthquakes happen in 1 year. However, according to the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, Evansville is among the major cities impacted by this zone. Every year, hundreds of small earthquakes occur in the seismic area. However, most are too small to even be felt by humans and can only be detected by sensitive instruments. The USGS, also known as the U.S. Geological Survey, indicates that these are the towns in which are the closest to these quakes. Again, all this happened on December 9th. Okay, Marston, Missouri, a magnitude 2.2 struck there. Howardville, Missouri, a magnitude 1.9. Ridgely, Tennessee, 1.8. Howardville, Missouri, 3.0. And another 2.1. And another 2 in Matthews, Missouri. And then Hayward, Missouri, was struck by a magnitude 2.0. So these back-to-back-to-back 7 earthquakes on December 9th. While the West Coast is well known for its destructive earthquakes, the Mississippi Valley's New Madrid Zone was the most seismically active region east of the Rocky Mountains until 2014, when a sharp spike in Oklahoma earthquakes unseated it, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. And in 1811-1812, the seismic area generated numerous earthquakes over a period of months, including 3 massive quakes that the USGS estimates to have been between a magnitude 7 and 8. The quakes destroyed multiple settlements along the Mississippi River and reportedly felt as far away as Cincinnati, Ohio, Hartford, Connecticut, Charleston, South Carolina, and New Orleans. And guys, by the way, several years ago, I was awakened in the wee hours of real early in the morning. I had a vivid dream of an earthquake happening in Arkansas. I was sound asleep. I'm not one of these individuals. I can honestly say before you, if you guys know me well enough, I am not one of these individuals that every single week the Lord spoke to me, the Lord gave me a dream, this and that. I don't do that. And the Lord just, and it just doesn't happen. But on the night of the 29th, 2 days ago, at approximately 2:08 a.m., and that time frame is significant too. I did not know that until I went to further research. I was awakened violently awakened by this dream. In the dream, here's the dream. Real quick, it's a quick dream. I was on my phone. I do have an iPhone. Don't judge me. All the Android people, don't judge me, but I do have an Apple iPhone. And on my phone, I have an app, and it's a earthquake tracker. And I love it because it's perfect for what we do here. And I can customize the notifications to notify me of when certain earthquakes of a certain magnitude around the world happen. It will alert me. It will notify me. So in the dream on the 29th, in the wee hours of the night, in this dream, my notification went off on my earthquake tracker. So I grabbed my phone in the stream. I picked up my phone and I looked down at the screen to see where the earth, because I knew the sound, because I have a custom notification tone for earthquakes. So when it goes off, I know that it's an earthquake. It went off. I looked down at my phone and it tells me exactly where the earthquake happened and the magnitude of it. When I looked at the phone, it said a magnitude 7.8. But here's the thing that got me. It was in Arkansas. Let me say that again. Earthquake tracker alert goes off. Look at it. Magnitude 7.8 earthquake, Arkansas, United States. In the dream, I was stunned and said, and this is, I remember, guys, just like I'm sitting here today, I remember my heart sank, like my whole, the blood ran cold in my body. And I said to myself in the dream, my Lord, the New Madrid has just blown. And no sooner than I said that in the dream, literally seconds went by. And all of a sudden, the entire, and I was in my basement of my home, sitting on my couch in my basement, and the entire room began to sway and shake violently. I remember the lights were shaking. My furniture was shaking. The table was shaking. My feet were buckling and almost clapping underneath me and shaking violently. And I heard my wife's voice yell from another room, "We're having an earthquake." And I said, I know. And everybody was kind of panicked. And I'm telling you guys, the shaking went on, and it was so violent and it was so strong. And I felt it in my bones and in my body. And it woke me, and it was shaking me so violently in the dream that it woke me straight out of the dream. I woke up wide awake. I keep my phone for this reason. I learned that a long time ago. I keep my phone within earshot of me, within arm's reach. I immediately reached over, grabbed my phone, and I began to type out this very dream. Why? Because I wanted to make sure I documented it. I wanted to make sure that I had it noted, time-stamped, and everything. So I got up that morning. I told my wife, I said, you've got to hear this dream. And she said, do you think it's of God? And I said, absolutely think it's of God. And I knew that because of the way, how real it was and how there was details in this dream that I want to share with you right now. So let's get after this. I want to give you some information here. First of all, it took place in, again, the earthquake in my dream, the location of this magnitude 7.8 earthquake was in Arkansas. Now, I got to be honest with you. There's some things that I'm going to share with you on this broadcast that I had already known. But when I began to do my research on the morning after I had this dream on the 29th, what I found out absolutely stunned me. And it sealed the deal to know that this dream was absolutely from the Lord. First of all, again, it was in Arkansas. Second of all, I want to talk about something right here that you're going to see up on your screen. Now, what you see here is a location. All of you guys that are in Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Indiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, you are familiar with this location. Right there on your screen, you're seeing major fault lines right here, right? You see them? You got the one out to the west. You got the San Andreas. You got the Cascadian fault line. You got all that out there. Then you got a major fault line that I did not know apparently runs through, goes down into Charleston, South Carolina. We'll talk about that in a second too. But then you see this great big red dot on your screen for you guys that are watching this. This is called the New Madrid fault line that runs through the midsection of the country. Now, let me give you a little bit of a history on this. In 1811 and 1812, there was a sequence of earthquakes that took place. Let me talk about that right now. This sequence of three large earthquakes, usually referred to as the New Madrid earthquakes, that takes after the Missouri town of New Madrid, was the largest settlement on the Mississippi River between St. Louis, Missouri, and Natchez, Mississippi. Again, if I slaughter that, forgive me. On the basis of the large area of damage, which was 600,000 square kilometers, the widespread area of precipitability was, again, 5 million square kilometers, and the complex changes geographically that occurred were historic. Quote, the New Madrid earthquake of 1811-1812 ranks as some of the largest that has ever occurred in the U.S. since its settlement by Europeans. The area of strong shaking associated with these shocks is 2 to 3 times as large as that of the 1964 Alaska earthquake and 10 times as large as that of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. Because there was no seismographs in North America at the time of 1811-1812, very few people in the New Madrid region, the estimated magnitudes of this series of earthquakes vary considerably and depend on modern researchers' interpretations of journals, newspaper reports, and other accounts of the ground shaking and damage. Now, let me just read that to you. And then I'm gonna show you some significant stuff that confirms to me that this dream I just recently had is from the Lord. And I'm going to share another dream I had back in 2011. And I'm going to share another dream that a brother in the Lord had as well. So let me read this. The New Madrid earthquakes were the largest earthquakes in American history. They occurred in the central Mississippi Valley, but were felt as far away as New York City, Boston, Montreal, and Washington, D.C. President James Madison and his wife Dolly reportedly felt them in the White House, and church bells rang in Boston. You got to just let that soak in for a second, how huge that is. From December 16, 1811 through March of 1812, there were over 2,000 earthquakes in the central Midwest and between 6 to 10,000 earthquakes in Missouri, where New Madrid is located near the junction of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. In the known history of the world, no other earthquakes have lasted so long or produced so much evidence of damage as the New Madrid earthquakes. Let me just give you a little synopsis of what happened. These series of earthquakes that took place, again, three of them were so large in magnitude that it caused the Mississippi River to actually reverse course and run backwards. huge fissures opened in the earth as a result of this. Sand boils were created as a result of these earthquakes. There was reports of lights that flashed out of the ground caused by the quartz crystals that were being compressed by the pressure of the seismic magnitude of the earthquakes, causing what is a phenomenon called earthquake lights. By the way, this also happened in Japan and other huge earthquakes that took place. Warm water was seen shooting up out of the ground from fissures. There was what was called earthquake smog that was seen across the land during this earthquake. Some estimates, some eyewitnesses reported what was called sounds of thunder that was rippling off of the ground and off up across the geographical plains of the locations of the New Madrid. People reported strange behavior by animals before the earthquakes even occurred. They were nervous. They were excited. Domestic animals became wild, and wild animals became tame. Snakes came out of the ground from hibernation, and flocks of ducks and geese landed near people where they normally didn't. By the way, this is common, and it happened in the the date may be wrong on this, but I believe it was 2005, 2004, what was called the Boxing Day tsunami earthquake that killed all those people in Sumatra and Indonesia. This was reported then too, where animals were seeing going up to higher ground and strange activity by animals. All these things were happening. Now, listen to this. Here's what shook me, no pun intended. This is what really got me when I began to research this. The first earthquake that occurred of the three major earthquakes, the first large earthquake that happened in 1811, ready? Was a magnitude 7.5 earthquake. And guess where it happened? I did not know this. Arkansas. Now, that stunned me. I was like, what? I did not know that. Let me say that again. The first earthquake that occurred in December 16, 1811, was a magnitude 7.5 earthquake at 2. Now, here's the second part that got me. Listen to the time that it happened. 2:15 a.m. Guys, I had this dream probably around 2 a.m., and it woke me out of the dream at 2:08. On December 16, 1811, a 7.5 earthquake struck Arkansas at 2:15 a.m. in the morning. I don't know about you, but that gave me chills. Let me go back to this. Matthew 24, Jesus said there will be earthquakes in various places, and this will be one of the signs of the coming of the Lord. We know that the Lord said in the Gospel of Matthew, he also said that these are the beginning of sorrows, and that word sorrows in Greek is the word travail, and it's where we get the word birth pangs from. That's where we get this word from. So he's telling us that these disasters are going to come as birth pangs, meaning, again, you guys heard me say this so many times, they're going to increase in magnitude and increase and intensity. They're going to get the timing of them is going to get shorter and shorter and shorter and more. In other words, it's going to be like you get over this and then something else happens and then that happens and then this happens and then you get over that and another disaster happens. And then the magnitude gets more and more severe and it garnishes the attention of the world. And that's why I kept, what have I been telling you? Pay attention to the verbiage and the language that the so-called experts, the seismologists, the scientists, the NOAA, and the weather, people say, and all these people who they use these terms like unprecedented, catastrophic, once in a lifetime, once in a thousand years, once in a hundred years, never seen before, biblical proportions. They use these terms, and it's one thing to say these terms once every year or once every 3 years, but these terms are becoming so regular that we're losing our sensitivity to them. The effect that they're having, it's not working anymore. It's just we're become callous to it. And it's like every single time a storm comes or a disaster happens, they're going to make these claims. They're going to say these things about this. Now the East Coast is, as we're speaking here, is getting hit, pummeled by a quote bomb cyclone that has been expected to unleash hurricane conditions across 8 eastern states. An urgent weather warning has been issued for 8 East Coast states with a bomb cyclone expected to unleash hurricane conditions across the region. Now, I wonder what this is going to do in light of all these drones. This bomb cyclone is reported to bring heavy rain, extremely high winds to much of the eastern seaboard, and now we're being told that it will be amplified by an atmospheric river stretching 2,000 miles along the coast.
Thousands are without power tonight as a storm hits the East Coast with torrential rain and damaging winds. Jeff Harris joins us at the live desk right now. Jeff, which areas are being hit the hardest?
Start here tonight with a live look over Narragansett, Rhode Island, Didi, where this powerful atmospheric river is currently battering the New England region. Take a look here at the damage left behind in that city. Trees toppling onto homes, roads, and even some power lines. Right now, more than 30,000 people across New England are without power. Massachusetts and Maine hit hardest as damaging winds roar through the night. And take a look at drivers here in Boston trying to maneuver their way through a flooded tunnel. Heavy rainfall of up to 3 inches is possible as millions now remain under a flood watch. That is through tomorrow. The severe weather already impacting travel as well. There's been over 5,000 flight disruptions across the Northeast today, a majority of them out of Boston, Washington, D.C., and New York City, with more delays expected tomorrow. Along the Great Lakes region, around 3 million people are bracing for blizzard-like conditions as lake-effect snow will pair together with strong winds overnight into tomorrow. Officials urging people to stay off the roads unless it's an emergency.
We literally just had a, quote, bomb cyclone atmospheric river take place on the opposite side of the country on the West Coast. Now, again, keep in mind, so both of these events happened in the same year. Now, why is that important? Because at one time, these kind of weather events were considered to be rare like this. But now it's normal. They happen so frequently that, again, it's losing our effect to our reaction to this. Meanwhile, a massive wildfire has erupted across Southern California. This is a ferocious wildfire that's fanned by strong winds, burned through Malibu, destroying homes, triggering power outages, and forcing thousands to evacuate along the coast in the dark while firefighters struggled to contain the flames. Check it out.
Fast-moving wildfires burning out of control in Southern California with a mix of high winds and low humidity, which is fueling the flames. The fire scorched more than 3,000 acres and destroyed a number of homes. It is 0% contained, with more than 20,000 people now under evacuation orders. CBS News correspondent Carter Evans is live in Malibu and joins me now to talk about this. So, Carter, I guess you must have switched live shot locations earlier this morning for CBS Mornings. There was a raging fire behind you. What's the latest on the ground now?
Well, you know, the wind has died down a little bit, so that's why you don't see as much fire behind me, and you see the smoke rising straight up in the air. So this is really a good sign. You know, Vlad, this had the potential to be a horrific fire. If the winds had been as strong as forecast, I think we would have lost a lot more homes than we did. As it stands, there are a handful of homes that have been lost, about 15 structures. And the good news right now, they've actually moved this up to 7% containment. So firefighters are making progress.
So earlier you were also reporting firefighters conducted an aerial drop almost immediately behind you in the dark. How are they able to do this in 24/7 rescue conditions?
Yeah, so this was pretty exciting, and you could tell when it's about to happen. Usually you'll get a flare up, and then this one was right behind us, and it flared up, and then all of a sudden there's a helicopter circling overhead. They make a pass. They kind of get an idea of where it is, and they plan their route of attack. And then they come back and make a second run and drop the water. And that was right behind us. We got all the action on that one. They doused those flames and put them out pretty quickly. And you asked how they're able to fly at night. Night vision goggles is the answer. I mean, look at this mountainous terrain. Would you want to fly a helicopter low here? They're wearing night vision goggles, and that's how they're able to do it.
Wow, incredible work by those firefighters, and you as well, Carter. Thank you very much. Stay safe out there.
Now, again, what are we talking about here? Let's put all this together. Let's do a synopsis of everything that we've talked about here. Let's put it all together. What we're saying is, again, while people's attention spans have been turned to what's going on, and again, rightfully so, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I was a New Jersey resident, if I was a New York resident, I'd be furious. I'd be livid over this too. And these people are. We just had somebody on Telegram channel asking for prayer because they live in New Jersey and these things are going right over their home and they have for days and they are nervous. They're anxious, just like all these other people. So it's rightfully so. But that's why I'm bringing your attention back to, are you paying attention to what's happening? Romans 8. And this is where I want to close this tonight. Romans 8. Remember, the Bible says that the earth will groan and travail as it is awaiting its redemption. It's awaiting two things. One, the revealing of the sons of God, which is the body of Christ. Come on, God, even the earth, come on, somebody, even the earth is awaiting the remnant to rise up out of their place and speak, thus saith the Lord. And prepare a generation for the coming of the Lord. Just like John the Baptist rose up in the spirit and anointed Elijah, and he prepared the way of the Lord. He prepared a generation. He turned the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And the whole earth is travailing, the Bible says, groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth and creation is waiting for the church to rise up out of its rightful place and proclaim the God good news. The good news of God, the good news of the gospel in these last days. And number two, so the earth is travailing. Number one, because of the manifestation of the sons of God. Number two, it's groaning for the redemption that will be brought by the Messiah when he himself returns and sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And number three, the earth is travailing and groaning because of the shedding of innocent blood through martyrdom and through abortion and through all scenarios of the shedding of innocent blood. And again, your Bible says in the book of Genesis that your blood has a voice and it cries up from the earth. And I can show you in the book of Revelation where there are souls under the altar and they're crying out before the Lord saying, how long, O God, until you avenge our blood? So I'm telling you, friends, that this is going to continue to happen. We're going to continue to see the earth continue to reel and groan and travail. And the prophet says that in the last days that the earth shall reel to and fro like a hut. And these quakes are going to become greater and greater in magnitude. And the Bible is filled with prophetic implications of these earthquakes. The book of Ezekiel, there'll be earthquakes in the middle of Gog and Magog. I can take you to Revelation 11 when the two prophets are slain. There'll be an earthquake in Israel that will strike Israel that will kill thousands. There'll be earthquakes that will happen and that will transpire At the same token, where in which there will be the sun turning into darkness and the moon turning into blood. And even in Joel chapter 2, he says, in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. I believe that's volcanic eruptions. He talks about this. All these things will happen before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So all of these things must happen, guys. So again, spiritually speaking, this is prophecy. This has been foretold. This should not shock you if you're a student of prophecy, if you know your word. Now, what does that mean? It means practically speaking, if we know these things are coming, we, to the best of our ability, have to prepare ourselves. Now, these drones things, listen, if our government officials and the CIA and the FBI and Homeland Security and all these cats, if they're not doing nothing about it and they're saying they have no clue, then guys, I'm going to tell you right now, we're on our own. We're on our own with that. But preparing for an earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, wildfires, disasters, these things you can prepare to the best of your ability. Have a plan, prepare accordingly, do what you can. And the Bible talks about that. A prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares himself accordingly. He doesn't hide himself. He prepares his house. Noah, knowing the judgment of the Lord was at hand, built an ark for the saving of his household. He didn't just talk about it. Well, I should do this. That. No, he acted upon it. Pharaoh, when he was told 7 years of famine was coming, it's going to get bad. He didn't just sit around and talk about it. He didn't get on Facebook and Telegram and Instagram and all these things and just talk about it. No, he put forth, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith. I'll show you my works and show you my works. And I'll show you my faith. He acted upon it. He took the advice of Joseph and he prepared all of Egypt. And because he did, Egypt survived the famine because Noah prepared his family. Seven of his household, including himself, would be eight souls survived the flood. How do we survive what's coming? Well, number one, God has our days numbered. There's only so much we can do, guys. Right now, I'm facing a battle with my health. And I've done all the research. I'm doing everything I can do in my own strength. Everything I can possibly physically do. And then you know what? The rest is in God's hands. It's out of my hands. It's in his hands. I give it to him. My days are numbered. David said, he knows my setting up and my rising down. My very days are fashioned and written in his book in heaven. So I don't plan on dying before my time. So my hands are in God's hands and he controls my destiny as long as I stay in his will. So this is the point I'm trying to make. We do the best we can. We trust in God. We believe in God. And listen, here's the bottom line, guys, is either we're all going to listen. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. There's only been two people in the entire world that has ever escaped physical death. And it was Elijah and Enoch. Now, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, there's coming in a whole generation. There will be a generation alive on the earth that will be caught up in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, and never see physical death. That is the group that will be raptured, harpezoed, gathered together, caught up, whatever you want to call it. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17. In a moment, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in a twinkling of an eye, they shall put off mortality and put on immortality. Never has happened in the history of humanity. Now, God has practiced it. He practiced it with Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not, and was caught up. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire into heaven. Revelation 11, the two witnesses, they'll be slain, they'll be killed. I believe it's Elijah and Enoch. And remember what the Bible says, and it's appointed unto man once to die in judgment, every man will die. Elijah, think about this logically. If Elijah and Enoch never saw physical death, it would constitute why they would be the two witnesses, because they never saw physical death. So now here they come, they show up mid-trib, and they start preaching the gospel there in Jerusalem, and they're calling down fire out of heaven and all kinds of judgments there. And the Antichrist shows up and he slays them in the middle of the streets of Jerusalem, and their bodies lay there for 3.5 days. And then God himself catches them up to heaven, raises them up. So they, at the end, all humanity will die. Even the two witnesses that never saw physical death, they will see physical death. They will experience what we all have experienced. But there will be a generation that will be alive, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, that will be caught up and not see physical death. So this, again, that's the book, guys. That's what the Bible says. So here's the point I'm making is, one day we're all going to punch that clock. So I can sit around here and worry about all this stuff. Oh, well, what's this? What are we going to do with this? And what if this happens? What if that happens? Or I can trust that when it's my time to go, if I'm in his will, then I'm either going to go here or go there, or I'm going to go in the air. But the bottom line is, the make that assurance known that when it's time for you to go, that you know where you're going. Amen. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And listen, if by happenstance, it's not very often, but maybe you were invited in here, you stumbled across our podcast, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you right where you're at. Listen, I'm not going to make this some kind of religious, you know, repeat after me and do this and that. Because the Bible said, Jeremiah rebuked a group of people, and he said, through the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and said, these people gather to me, and they come to me with lip service, but their heart's far from me. So even if you repeat something that I tell you to repeat, if your heart's not in it, God's not going to honor that. So I want to encourage you right where you're at, where you're listening. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I want you to, the Bible calls men to repent. Repent of your sins. Repent of doing things your own way. Repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of you, and that your name would be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm telling you, if you will do that and you mean that from your heart, the Bible says, not me, but the book of Romans says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, you shall be saved. And if you get, and if that's you, and if you are born again, I want to encourage you. The next step is to go get water baptized. Make a public profession of an inward change. Make an outward expression of an inward change. Let it be known. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Get you a Bible. Begin to read the Gospels. Read them. Get tuned into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, doctrinally sound church. If you don't have one, we welcome you to the family here at End Time Headlines, and we'll do our best to equip you and encourage you and get you. And we have a whole archive of over 1,000 messages. I guarantee you, every topic you can think of, we've covered it, and you can go and listen to one of those topics right here on our YouTube channel. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming on tonight on Thursday night. We're going to sign off for tonight. And again, don't forget, guys, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, and equips you, and you'd like to support this ministry, there's two easy ways you can do that: electronically, or you can give by check or money order right there on the screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So it's been a great time. We're going to sign off for tonight, and we'll be right back here tomorrow. We're going to try to be on here tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. And we may be here tomorrow night. We'll let you know. Again, as I'm going through this journey, guys, I've learned to listen to my body, what I can and cannot do. So we kind of play that by ear. But nevertheless, we'll see you tomorrow sometime, either 2 or 8 or both of those slots. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you. May he keep you. and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.